I wonder if you heard the answer to the question that Ralph asked. Ralph said, Jesus is coming back. We know that for sure. And he's going to take us home to be heaven, home to heaven to be with him. So what does that mean for people who aren't here when Jesus comes back, who aren't on earth? If Jesus is coming back and this earth is going to finish and he's going to take us to be with him in heaven, what does that mean for those who aren't here? What does that mean for those who have died before that happens? Did you find the answer in that Bible reading? I think some people may have. Did everyone find it? Okay, well, we're going to have a look at this passage, 1 Thessalonians 5. Now, the kids might have a sheet. Have those sheets been handed out to the kids to fill in? There's some answers for the kids to fill in on their sheets, but there's also some things for the adults to look at on their sheets. And this Bible passage is in two parts, and it talks about Jesus coming back. It says very clearly that Jesus will return. And the first question is, when Jesus returns, who gets to go to heaven? Is it just the people who are alive, or what happens? But have a look in verses 13 and 14 of that chapter 4. Paul says to the Thessalonians, brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep, or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. Now, this was a great answer for the people who lived in Thessalonica, because they were really worried. They expected that Jesus was going to return very, very soon in their lifetime. And they were looking forward to Jesus' return all the time. And then sometimes one of their loved ones had died, one of their grandparents or aunties or uncles would die, and they would go, oh no, that's terrible, because they're going to miss out on Jesus' return. How will they get to heaven if they're not here when Jesus comes back? But these verses give us a very good answer. It says, when Jesus comes back, he will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. Now, when he says those who have fallen asleep, he's not talking about that sort of sleep, is he? He's not talking about that sort of sleep. Let me show you a picture. I haven't turned it on yet. Here we go. That's a picture. When we went to Scotland, I dragged my wife around some of the graveyards in Scotland to try and find some old relics of old relations that I have in Scotland. And if you look at very closely on this gravestone in Scotland, underneath the bottom one, it's Elizabeth Turnbull. She was only 11 years old when she died. She would have been my great-great-auntie or something like that. But it says underneath her name, asleep, not dead. Now, she did really die, but it says she's asleep. Because you know why it says that? Because Christians believe so much in the power of Jesus raising people from the dead that we know that when you die, it's only for a little, it's only temporary. It's only something that happens, and then you get to go to be in heaven with God forever. So it's just like, almost like falling asleep and then waking up again when you die, when you're a Christian, because we are so confident that Jesus will raise us from the dead, that Paul says it's just like they went to sleep. It's really a really good thing that to remember that when we die, that's not the end, that we will be raised back to life. And so it doesn't matter if you're alive when Jesus comes back, Paul says. You might be dead, but you'll get to come back with Jesus. You might be like my great auntie here, who's been dead for more than 100 years, but if Jesus returned tomorrow, she would come back with him. And I'd be reunited with her. I'd be able to meet my great auntie. Wouldn't that be fantastic? Now, there's lots of people I'm looking forward to meeting. In fact, I've got a few pictures here. There we go. That's my great-grandfather, and he died not quite 100 years ago, but almost 100 years ago. But even though he died 100 years ago, because he was a Christian, when Jesus comes back, he will come with Jesus to be part of God's family forever. Here's another guy. He looks pretty old, doesn't he? This guy lived about 500 years ago. His name is Hugh Latimer. He's one of my heroes because he wasn't scared of anyone, what they said about him being a Christian, even though he was killed for being a Christian about 500 years ago. He didn't care. He stuck firmly to his beliefs in Jesus. And when Jesus comes again, Hugh Latimer's going to be there, and I'm going to meet him. And I'm going to be able to be part of his family, because we'll all be part of God's family forever. It doesn't matter that he's already died. It doesn't matter that he's been dead for he died 500 years ago. He will come with Jesus. Here's another one. This bloke's standing in front of a circular window for some reason. But his name is Timothy. And he was one of the leaders of the church back 2,000 years ago. And I really like Timothy because we've got the same name. And I like what he did. He was a very brave and bold young man. And so I'm going to, even though he's been dead for 2,000 years, when Jesus returns, Timothy will come with him. Here's another one I'm looking forward to meeting. King David. And when when Jesus returns, King David will be coming back with Jesus as well. Because Paul says that all of God's family will be with God in heaven forever. It doesn't matter if you're alive when Jesus returns, or if you've been dead for 100 years, or 500 years, or 2,000 years, or 4,000 years, all of God's family will be alive with him in heaven forever. It's going to be like a really big family reunion. Now, a little while ago, we went to the Gold Coast, and we had a family reunion for all of Natasha's family. And there's a whole bunch of them, there was about 60 or 70 people there. And it was great meeting all the aunties and uncles again that I hadn't seen for a long time, and Natasha's cousins and her cousins' kids and their babies and their grown-up children, all sorts of people there at this family reunion. It was so good to be together at the family reunion. But there were some people who weren't there at the family reunion. That was a bit sad sometimes to think about it, because Natasha's grandparents weren't there. They'd died a few years ago. And her great-grandparents had died a long time ago, so they couldn't be at the family reunion either. And that's sort of pretty sad to think about that they missed the family reunion. But guess what? When we have a family reunion with God's family in heaven, everyone will be there. It doesn't matter if you've died before Jesus comes back, or if you're still alive, everyone will be there. It'll be an even better family reunion than on the Gold Coast, because no one will be missing. Everyone will be there. Now, kids, on your sheets, it's got a box, and it says you've got to draw a family reunion. And you've got to see how many people you can fit in that box. How many people can you draw in that box? Because there's going to be lots and lots of people at God's family reunion in heaven. So here's a challenge for you. How many people can you draw in that one box? You start drawing, but keep listening while we think a bit more about these verses. Because we want to know, if Jesus is returning, what's it going to be like when Jesus returns? What's going to happen? How's it going to work? Well, we find out a little bit more about that in verses 16 and 17. It's hard to imagine what it's going to be like, but have a look at those verses in chapter 4, verses 16 and 17. It says, "For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first, and after that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever." Now, this tells us a little bit about what's going to happen when Jesus returns, but it doesn't tell us everything, because we don't know everything. But what we do know is that everyone is going to know that it's happened. And it says there's going to be a loud command from heaven and a voice of an archangel. That's one of God's great messengers. He's going to announce his great command from heaven. And we don't know what the command's going to say. Maybe it'll say, "Sit up," or "Look at this," or something like that. And then Jesus will return. And as he returns, you're going to hear the sound of a trumpet. And I was going to organise someone to play a trumpet for me today, but they're not here, so that's all right. But you're going to hear the sound of a trumpet blowing. And you might think, well, why are they going to have a trumpet blowing? What did a trumpet mean back in those days, in Paul's day, when they heard a trumpet blowing? The king was coming. If you heard the trumpet blowing, you knew that the king or one of the king's messengers or something like that, the king was coming your way. And you better get ready because here comes the king. And when we hear the trumpet on the last day when Jesus returns, we'll know that the king is coming. King Jesus is coming back to rescue his people. Isn't that going to be great? King Jesus is coming. And all those who have died, who trust in the Lord Jesus, will be there with him. And we will get to meet them. We'll be part of that great big family reunion in heaven. Isn't that exciting? Who's excited about this? Yeah, it's good, good, lots of hands. Because if you're excited about it, then there's something you can do while you wait. Have a look at the very last verse of chapter 4. He says, therefore, encourage each other with these words. Encourage each other. Because sometimes life's a real drag. Sometimes life can be really hard or bad things can happen. And our loved ones are taken away or all sorts of terrible things can happen. But we know that Jesus will return and we know that there'll be a family reunion in heaven with Jesus forever. So if you're excited about that, you want to encourage each other, you want to remind other people when life gets hard, Jesus is coming back and he's going to make everything right again. And we're going to be part of that great big family reunion. Now, we're going to encourage each other now by singing. We're going to sing our next song, which is See Him Coming. And that reminds us that Jesus is coming back and that that we will be with him forever. See him coming on the clouds of heaven. We know that Jesus is coming back. The question is, when is it going to happen? We're looking forward to it. And we want Jesus to return, but when is that going to happen? We want to get ready for his return, so we need to know when. But did you hear the answer in those first few verses of chapter 5? Especially that first verse. Now, brothers, about times and dates, we do not need to write to you. So he's saying, don't worry about it. Don't worry about the time or the date. That's not what you have to worry about. This is what you have to worry about. You know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly as labour pains on a pregnant woman and they will not escape. See, imagine if there was a thief creeping around behind you and you didn't know he was there. Imagine if there was a thief coming up behind you to try and steal the wallet out of your back pocket. And if you didn't know he was there, then you wouldn't be ready for him. But if you do know he's there, then it's not going to be a surprise. Go on, off you go. See, that sneaky thief thought he could surprise me, but I knew he was there all the time. And so it wasn't a surprise. And that's what it's like with the day of Jesus' returns. We don't know when it's going to happen. It's going to happen suddenly, like a thief sneaking up behind you in the night. But if you listen to Jesus' words, that he is coming, and that you don't need to worry about when it's going to happen, then you've just got to be ready. Because it's going to happen when you least expect it. And he says it's a bit like a thief in the night. When I was 12 years old, I had a beautiful green racing bike and my parents had bought it for me and I had it for about 9 months and I was supposed to lock it up at our back door every night, behind our back door. And a couple of nights I thought, you know, nothing's going to happen. Nothing's going to happen to my bike. No one's going to come and steal it. So I stopped locking it up. And guess what happened one dark night? A few months later, the thief came in the night and I wasn't prepared for him and I hadn't locked up my bike and that was the end of my beautiful green racing bike. I never saw it again. Very sad occasion. But it taught me a good lesson. You've got to be prepared. And we need to be prepared for Jesus to come. Because it's going to happen when you least expect it. You see, people might think everything is going really well. And they might think, well, I don't need God, but all of a sudden things could change very quickly, like labour pains coming on a pregnant woman. Because that's how quickly it can happen when you're pregnant. And all of a sudden the labour pains come and it's time for Jesus to come back. And if you're not expecting Jesus to come back, it's like you're living in the dark. You're confused and uncertain and unsure and not ready for what's coming. But people who are expecting Jesus to return are not living in the dark, are they? People who are expecting Jesus to return are living in the day, so we won't be shocked. Look at verses 4 to 6 of chapter 5 there. He says, "But you, brothers, are not in darkness, so that this day should surprise you like a thief. You are all sons of the light and sons of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. So then let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be alert and self-controlled." Very important words there. People who know Jesus will return one day won't be shocked when it happens. You might be a little bit surprised at the time, but you won't be shocked because you're ready for it. You're not living in the dark, uncertain and confused. We're living in the light, knowing exactly what to expect. We're not sleepy and dopey like some people. It's a photo of one of my daughters who will remain nameless, but she's in England, so I feel safe to show it today. She could fall asleep anywhere, and she was never... When you're asleep, you're not prepared for anything that's going to happen, are you? Anyone could sneak up on you while you're asleep. People who are asleep aren't prepared. Some people aren't prepared for Jesus' return, but the Bible says we're not asleep. We're not in the dark. Now, there's nothing wrong with having a sleep, kids. I've got to say this at this point. There's nothing wrong with going to sleep. It's good. And God says we need sleep and we need to take advantage of sleep when we can get it. But he's saying someone who isn't ready for Jesus to return is like someone who sleeps all the time, like a teenager who sleeps to the midday, and they're just not prepared for anything. Because when you're asleep, you can't be ready for a surprise. But he says we need to be ready for Jesus to return so we don't get surprised. Now, how do you make sure you're ready? He's already had one clue in verse 8. So have a look again at that. At the end of verse 7. Verse 8. Yeah, there it is. "But since we belong to the day, let us be self-controlled, putting on faith and love as a breastplate and the hope of salvation as a helmet." Now, it sounds like you've got to start wearing army clothes if you're going to be part of God's people, because he says you've got to be self-controlled and dressed like you're in the army. Now, if you're in the army, I wonder how army people get dressed. Well, there's one. How about that? Now, you look like you're dressed and ready to fight a battle. Is that right?
I'm all ready to go.
You're ready to go? And when you were in the army, Mr. Riley, because I know you're in the army for 5 years or so.
I was.
There was a thing called Stand 2. Now, what was Stand 2 about? It was something to do with being ready in the morning, was it?
Yep. So, first thing in the morning, before the sun even rose, you had to actually go to Stand 2. So you'd have to grab your webbing, which had all your gear on it, grab your weapon, and then head out and lie down, facing out from your position to make sure that the enemy wasn't going to come in to your position.
So you were ready if the enemy attacked at sunrise. You were ready for him even if he came in the dark. You were ready.
Always ready.
Always ready at every time. Now, you look like you need a bit of extra protection, though, because if the enemy shot a bullet at you...
He wouldn't see me.
Well, yeah, that's called concealment. But it would go right through those clothes because they're not like tough armour, are they?
No,
you know, back in... you need a bit of extra protection. Back in World War I, they used to have biscuits that they gave them that were so hard, the blokes used to put them in their pocket over their heart because they knew that if they got shot, the biscuit would stop the bullet because they were that hard. But I think you need better protection than that. What sort of protection do you reckon you need?
A helmet, I think I need.
A helmet? Do we have any helmets here from... Oh, look at that. Now, this is a special helmet. This is all the way from World War II. A real fair dinkum helmet that they used to wear, someone with a very small head, used to wear in World War II.
Yeah.
So if you had a helmet, that'd help, wouldn't it?
It'd
help stop bullets or something like that. That'd be good. And it'd be good to have, what else would it be good to have? Something on your...
Something here.
Yeah, something on your chest. Let me show you a picture, Mr. Riley, of what they wear these days in Afghanistan. Look at that. Would you like to have some of that armour?
It'd be doesn't have a helmet on, though.
No, he doesn't, but he's got a helmet down the bottom there. Yeah. See, they have things that they put on their chest to help stop the bullets from getting them. And so, you'd be protected, wouldn't you? And you'd be ready for the enemy to attack. Even if the enemy attacked, you'd be ready with your chest plate on and with your helmet on. Now, thank you, Mr. Riley, for coming and explaining that to us. Because that's what Paul says we need to be ready, like people who are in the army. Have a look there in verse 8 again. He says, "But since we belong to the day, let us be self-controlled, putting on faith and love as a breastplate, and the hope of salvation as a helmet." What's our armor to get ready for Jesus' return? What's our armor? It's a helmet, but it's the hope of salvation. We know that Jesus is coming back. We know that he has saved us through his death on the cross. We know for sure that when we trust in him, we will live with him forever. That's the great hope that we have. That's the hope of salvation. And so that's what we wear all the time. We have the hope of salvation, and we need the armor of faith and love, like a breastplate. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, trusting his promises that he's given us, and loving each other so that we can help each other to know Jesus' great promises are true. You see, we need to have faith, love, and hope. And the Thessalonian people who Paul is writing to, they'd been like that. They'd been showing faith and love and hope to each other for a long time, because they really knew that Jesus was coming back, and they trusted that his death on the cross would save them from their sin. And they are ready to follow the King. Now, there's two important things to do right at the end of our chapter, of our passage today, verse 11 in chapter 5. He says, if we know all this, and we know that Jesus died for us so that we will live together with him, what have we got to do? Verse 11. How about we read these words together? Everyone read it out loud together. Verse 11. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. He says if we're going to look forward to the day of Jesus' return and we're going to have faith and love and hope, we need to encourage each other and build each other up. We're looking forward to the family reunion. So we've got to keep reminding each other that that's God's great plan for us. We're watching for it to happen so that we won't be shocked when Jesus returns. We're self-controlled. We're not controlled by what others think about Jesus. We're self-controlled. And we're awake, alert, dressed and ready, because Jesus is coming back. Now, there's some more ways that you can encourage each other and build each other up. And they're in the rest of chapter 5. So if you look in the last part of chapter 5, you'll see all of those, but I'm going to talk about those next week, not this week. So what do we learn from today? Jesus will come back and take all his family to be with him in heaven forever. Are we ready for that? Are we ready for Jesus to return? Are we prepared? Are we trusting in Jesus? Are we loving each other? Have we put all our hope in him? Well, we're going to sing a song, kids,